When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Now let's get into the show.
When I grow up, yeah, yeah, when I grow up, you know what I wanna be? Take a seat, let me tell you my ridiculous dreams. I just wanna pay my bills, rapping about the way I feel. Oh yeah, I just wanna make a couple mil, leave it to the fam and the will. Oh yeah, I just wanna sign a record deal, maybe buy a house up in the hills. Oh yeah, might not be the best in my field, but I guarantee that I'ma die real when I grow up. Yeah, hey.
I made this podcast for my sons. This podcast is not political. This podcast is for the people. It's for the fathers. It's for the sons that will be fathers, or the sons and the daughters that do have fathers. This podcast is for men. You are listening to The Fathership Project.
Hey, what's going on, y'all, man? You know, I listen to the Fathership Project. So, before we go any further, first and foremost, I pray that this episode finds you in good health, feeling love, feeling wealthy, or chasing wealth and chasing healthy. I pray that you are close to your family, whether it's virtually or real life, or you know, face to face, depending on comfort level and safety. I pray that this episode comes to you knowing that you are loved, and if by nobody else, by God. And to be honest, if I had to choose between being loved by everybody or God, the best hands you could ever be in is not State Farm's, but it's in the Father. So I just pray that you are in good spirits. I pray that you are, depending on what side of the world you are, I pray that you are enjoying the weather, whether it's cold or whether it's warm. I pray that you understand that having the ability to feel the weather is a privilege within itself, because if you woke up today, it was on purpose, with purpose, and you are blessed. So let's get into the show. As I said in the episode before, as I'm still going through my hiatus, processing, because you guys, the loss of my father, the podcast is, and the brand is not just going to come back as business as usual. Oh, I took a break, had to mourn, now we back on. No, it's so much I want to say that God is still, you know, God is the co-CEO of everything I do. It's actually, he is the CEO, and I'm, you know, the executive up under him. Those who know, you know, I'm not in the corporate America yet, so I don't really understand how those tiers go, but you know, I just basically, I'm just saying God is the boss. Anyway, you know what I mean? Don't be deep. Y'all know what I mean. Anyway, so because God is the CEO, he's still writing, formulating, he's still helping me make this stuff make sense. There's conversations I want to have, and there's people that I need to have them with first and during, so that this process is done responsibly. So that's still coming, but I wanted to put some content out here as I finally, I'm getting back into a space, you guys, where I can, I want to tell y'all so much. I'm getting back into a space where I can even do this. because it was hard for me at first, you know. And I still struggle with, like, man, I'm getting back to work. Like, I didn't lose somebody huge. So, as I'm battling those thoughts, as I'm growing through, and that's all I'm going to say. Because I have a full show dedicated to, you know, encouraging and giving you guys the right information in the time of mourning. From my perspective, I should say. But I finally got into a mental space. I'm like, okay, you know, I want to say something, right? So I've been blessed to say that through the support and love of friends and family, I've been able to take mental breaks from mourning, from, you know, dealing with what I'm dealing with, and focusing on something else, you know, happy, purpose-filled, constructive distractions, right? There are such things as constructive distraction. Like if you have a writer's block and you're going to distract yourself by going to work out, that's a great distraction. It's productive. It has purpose in it. It's not empty, and it probably can spark some things into you that helps you with what you're doing. But anyway, another dad influencer of mine, I'm a part of this group of these amazing men. And I don't use the word man loosely. These are men, fathers. These are a huge, great assortment. We're like the Avengers of parenthood. The Avengers of parenting. So this one dad who's actually from my town, he goes by the name of Detroit Father on Instagram, asked a question. He was posted something the other day. I'm like, oh my God, I want to talk about this. It's such a great concept. Where he asked the question, to be a kid again. And that thought, like, sparked so much in me. Like, to be a kid again, what would I do? So that's why I played this song, you know. When I grow up, you know, like, dog, to be a kid again just for a day, man, it blew my mind, and it inspired me and encouraged me. So I tell y'all my response first is what I told him. I said, man, if I was a kid again, I would write a letter to myself and tell me not to listen to me now, because he forgot the me before disappointment. Then I said, I will legit hug my dad and make him take pictures of just me and him. And if I was a kid for a day, I would fuss at my mom and dad for not being friends. If I was a kid for a day, man, that's a whole song. But listen, man, before we get into it, you are listening to the Fathership Project, and I want to inspire you. And what better way to inspire you than going to one of the people that inspired me. I'm talking about to the point where he even made his whole brand about inspiration. It's the one and only J. Will Music. He just recently dropped a new album, and I think you guys should listen to it. It's pretty fire. But if you don't listen to it, that's your fault. But I digress. He has an album called The Inspiration. And it's a cool little EP. It's only 3 tracks on there. But I want you guys to check out one of my favorite songs from the album. It's something that is so true. The song is called Angels Watching. Something that I've played over and over, checked out, and it's such a dope song. So let's get into the homeboy J. Will. Listen, y'all can follow him at J. Will Music, or just search Inspire God's People. Super dope brand. He gets the Meet Real cosign. Oh man, I took it all the way back. I just said Meet Real. Oh man, I'm in the bag. He gets the Fathership Project cosign. Great band. So check out Angels Watching from his EP that's streaming everywhere. It's the Inspiration, and then we'll get back to the Fathership Project. Let's go.
I'm so intrigued by the reality of angels and the job that God has given them to do, to protect us, the saved ones, the souls that will inherit salvation. And they even rejoice when one sinner repents, because they know who they were created to be and they understand their purpose in the kingdom of heaven.
I know they're watching over me. I can feel it in the spirit, my God. They're watching over me. I could have been gone a few times by now, but they were watching over me. And I thank you, Jesus, for sending your angels to watch over me.
Be careful how you treat a stranger. You may be entertaining angels.
You never know.
Not enough proof for you to change, huh?
All right, let's go.
Let's approach it from a different angle.
Bible.
God sent flames of fire for protection.
Talk.
Spirit beings ministering here to bless us.
Mm.
Heaven is their home. They know God's presence. Rejoicing over one lost soul's confession. He sent his angels watching over prophecies and dreams. This ain't no Socrates. He ain't a prophet.
No.
Never needed Nietzsche. All I need is Jesus. Go to Joseph, let him know that Mary's carrying the key. Angels watching over me, fighting battles that I can't see. When the Lord rises, the enemy flees. I'm so thankful for all of these angels. Sometimes I like to just sit back and imagine all those times that I was in trouble and didn't even know I was in trouble. And God loved.
If I was a kid for the day, this like when I tell y'all, man, this thought is so much love. I actually wrote something with this concept in mind too, and just it was a great constructive, creative exercise that gave me a mental break from just processing. So it was really dope. So I was just thinking about it. So the first thing I said when I told him, I said, you know, I would write a letter to me and tell him to not listen to him, to me, because he forgot what life was like, or who he forgot who he was. I didn't tore up. Listen, how I tear up something I said. Okay. So what I said was, I would write a letter to myself and tell me not to listen to me now because he forgot the me before disappointment. I'ma just be honest, man, that struck a chord. Like just that whole concept, man. Because when you listen to kids, when they speak, when they speak of faith and they speak of what they can be and what they do, they don't have the weight of disappointment. They don't have the weight of realities and statistics and what you can do, what you can't do, and even the knowledge of the work that it requires and the dedication. That's why I was, you know, I used the scripture talking about, you know, when I was a man, when I was a child, I acted as a child, right? But the Bible also talks about how valuable a child is when it comes into the kingdom and how, you know, how Christ wants us, right? Let me say this clearly. Okay, so in Matthew 18, it talks about the greatest in the kingdom. So this is about a time when the disciples, as if you read the Bible, you know, the disciples was kind of, they was off. They was great, but they was kind of slow. Anyway, well, this is one of their slow moments. So chapter 18, verse 1, it talks about that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it will be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus, you know, his wordplay, his bars were crazy. So the imagery of that, it was better to have a millstone attached to your neck and you thrown into the sea, it would be better than if you are responsible for a little one who trusts you to fall in sin. Now, I can get all, listen, that's a whole show. Just talking about the responsibility. And what's interesting, in the last episode, see, I tried to the last episode I talked about just the conversation of accountability. Just the conversation of, with once all the accountability is given everybody else, is there enough left for me? Right? And if there's enough left for me, will I take some? So then this scripture actually kind of goes back with that, and it says, if any little one who trusts in God falls into sin because of me, man. But I'm not, but that's another show. And you know, rest on it, pray on it. That's Matthew 18. And I would just tell you, let the Lord have his way, and you just read the whole chapter. You know, but I wanted to point out the one part where it says, you know, I tell you that unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. And he talks about, you know, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, which is an interesting conversation. Why are you trying to be the greatest in heaven? You know what I'm saying? So he talks about the humility. So even the conversation, while you're trying to become the greatest, understanding that the humility of a child is what would make you the greatest, because you're not trying to be the greatest. You're like, children have this innate ability. They're just pure. Their hearts, their eyes, they are blessed with the perspective of being new. You know, just like when you are in college and you see the new people who just came from high school, and they so, oh my God, I'm, you know, they're so bushy, you know, bushy-tailed and bright-eyed, I think is the saying. And they're like, man, I'm going to do this, and this is going to be my, you know. You know, after you've been there for a couple of years, your perspective or your position is a little different because you've been getting beaten down by the world. But I brought that scripture up because it reminded me, like I said, the perspective of a child, the vision of a child, something, it has its place. It has its place. So I said, I'll write this letter to myself and remind me to not listen to the me now, because he, which is the me now, forgot who he was before disappointment. So before life, his circumstances showed me or told me what I couldn't have, there was a me that had no fear, that had no discouragement, and that was going to do X, Y, and Z. He said he was going to be. As a young man, I wanted to be a lawyer. You know, aside from me going to the NFL, and as a matter of fact, my love or desire to go to the NFL came later, but as a young man, I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer and then a mayor. That was my dream. I wanted to be a lawyer, not just because I wanted to argue, but I liked dialogue. I liked being in that, and also wanted to help people. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of different areas you can help people, but being a lawyer, you could have an opportunity to help defend people, depending on what type of lawyer you became. But I wanted to do that, and then I wanted to become a mayor. I wanted to save my city. I wanted to save Detroit. I wanted to help. But then you get older and you hear about the school you got to go to, or what you can't do, what you can do, and you start trying to find ways. Like, it took me all the way into my 30s and me marrying the wife that I have, the vision coach Latoya, early, for me to remember that child like Demetrius, who was like, but you can help, you can do. And then that was water, blah, 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 foster project, bang, boom, boom, and now you're here. But what I'm saying is that when I thought about, if I could be a kid for a day, the first thing I would want to do is I would have to send a letter to the future. I got to write me a letter. And so that older me can read this, remember, like, but you said you could do this. Remember when you said you could do this? Why you change your mind? Who told you to change your mind? And why can't you do this? I mean, even think about it. I mean, I could, if I really was serious, I could really become a lawyer. And who could say if I didn't really want to fight, I couldn't become a mayor? I mean, call me a mayor. You know, I was a mayor. No, I digress. No, for real. Like, having that perspective, that faith, that lack of fear, that just excitement for life as children have, is some keys into that. I was just thinking about, man, what would you do as you see? That's funny. That's the first thing I would do. I'm like, I gotta send something to help myself when I leave, when I come back. But what's the first thing you do if you were a child for a day? If you could go back to be a kid for a day, what's the first thing you do? Think about it. So then the second thing I did is, you know, I would hug my dad more and make him take pictures. You know what I'm saying? Being a young man and the dynamics of my family and me wanting to protect my mom, me wanting to try to be macho, to show my dad I was macho versus my dad showed me what being a man was, me being, you know, being a young man, I didn't value it. You know, especially the pictures of us, man, you know. But you think about that once you lose somebody, you're like, man, I wish I would have, you know, I need more pictures, especially if y'all relationship isn't where y'all real huggy, lovey-dovey. I'm like, man, I wish I would have forced that huggy, lovey-dovey face, you know, social, not social, but selfie time every time I see you on my pops. Because, you know, when life ends and things change, you like, dog, those are the things you wish you had. So that was, I mean, just for me. And then the third thing was just thinking about how my mom and dad's relationship was constrained. You know, they was young, they made mistakes, and they weren't best friends. And, you know, yes, I would prefer them to be married. They probably wouldn't have been the best thing for them, but yes, that would have been my preference. But I also would have been great with them being good friends like my grandmother and my grandfather are. Or like on both sides, even my wife, my father-in-law, my father and my mother-in-law. Great friends, close, cool. So I would have, if I could go back as a kid, I would have forced that. I'd have been like, my, you know, I would have wanted to try to push that and try to encourage that and hopefully, you know, promoted that as in my child life, you know, my life as a child. It was interesting. Those were the first things that came to my mind. So I just want to, you know, make you think. If you were a child for a day, what would you do? Like, for real. Like, if you were a child for one day, what would you do? I'm really curious. Think about it. I don't know. This was a fun exercise for me. I hope it's a fun exercise for you. Like, just go back. Think about yourself as a kid. I mean, and I see that so much in my son, though. It's not really a hard stretch to see me as a kid. So I would hope that I still could keep, like, can I go as a kid and keep some of my adult sense? Because, Lord, but I digress. I love you, Corey. I love my sons. But, you know, children. All right. Anyway, if you were a kid for a day, what would you do? Peace and God bless. You've been listening to the Fathership Project. We're coming back. Enjoy the bonuses.
Clean Air Media.